That's such a great sound to hear God's people greeting one another. I pray that, and one of my consistent prayers, just so you know, is that this fellowship would become tight. That your best friends would be friends that you make here and that you serve the Lord with. And so, warm reception of one another in the Lord. Matthew chapter 24 this morning. Shall we pray together? Father, we ask now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would use your word in a powerful way in our hearts. Lord, we are amazed and excited at what you are doing. And we want to be a part of what you're doing. Lord, you have a plan that goes global. We want to be a part of it. So, Lord, first of all, draw people into your kingdom who are not yet a part of your kingdom. And then for those of us who are, may we be busy about expanding your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking at last days here on Sunday mornings. And we've been spending quite a bit of time on it. And you may have noticed that when you study last days, you get a lot of very, very bad news. I mean, straight up, the Bible does not paint a pretty picture for life on this planet in the last days, as we get to the end of time. Terrible things are coming. As we saw last week, society will be marked by hatred, apostasy, lawlessness. Jesus has told us that there will be wars on this planet, like this planet has never seen before. There will be natural catastrophes, huge disasters, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, cosmic disturbances, all of that. So when you look at the last days, you do see there's a lot of bad news. But this morning, we get to look at some very, very good news concerning the last days. This morning, we look at a sign of the last days that by far is the most positive sign of all the signs. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse before us. It is a prediction concerning the last days that comes straight from Jesus. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. He says concerning last days, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." Isn't that a great verse? It's very clear. What Jesus is saying is that in the last days, the gospel goes global. In the last days, listen, the gospel message will be preached to the entire world. There will be a gospel witness in every nation in the last days. And by that, I take it every tribe, every tongue, every village, every culture. The wording here indicates is in the last days, the gospel message will penetrate every part of the world. Despite all of the other bad stuff that's going on, despite all of the false prophets, the false teachers, the false messiahs running around trying to deceive people, and they'll deceive many people in the last days. Despite all the efforts of the Antichrist, despite all the wars, despite all the famines, the pestilences, the earthquakes, the cosmic disturbances, despite all the bloodshed and death, beside all the hatred, despite all of that, the gospel message will reach the world. And you need to understand the language here. Jesus is saying that the greatest explosion of evangelism that the world has ever seen will take place in the last days. Revival like has never been seen. One expert in prophecy said, "The world is yet in store for its greatest spiritual revival, in which vast multitudes beyond comprehension will be saved. This is a phase of the tribulation period that has been little noted. Such emphasis has been put upon the horror of the tribulation that we have lost sight of the fact that it will be a time of unprecedented revival." Isn't that great news? The gospel reaching the entire world. And what could be a more important message than the gospel? The gospel is the pinnacle of biblical revelation. The gospel is what the Bible's all about. The gospel is the most important message that can be preached because it's by the gospel message that people get saved. It's through the gospel message that people become children of God, have all of their sins forgiven, are given the hope of heaven. And you know what? The gospel message is actually really, really simple to understand. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 concerning the gospel, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The gospel message is simply this: God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ. God's Son, Jesus Christ, went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. God's Son rose again on the third day, defeating death. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is alive today and one day will come again. And the gospel message is that if anybody places their faith and asks Christ to be their Savior, all of their sins are forgiven. They become children of God. And they're saved both now and forevermore. What could be a better message? The Bible is very clear. It tells us exactly what's wrong with the human race. Sin is what's wrong with the human race. We've all been born in sin. We're all sinners. We've all blown it. God is holy. He's without sin. Our sin separates us from a holy God. Our sin causes us to deserve condemnation, judgment. But God, in His grace and mercy, has sent His Son, who lived a perfect life, to take our place, to pay the price for our sins. And He rose again the third day and He's alive, proving that His sacrifice was acceptable in the eyes of a holy God. And so if any sinner receives Christ, their sins are forgiven. The gospel message demands that there be a personal encounter with the living God. That if you want to get saved, then you have to get alone with Jesus Christ. You have to encounter Him. You have to bow before Him and say, "I'm a sinner. I need You to be my Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life." And if people do that, if you do that, you're saved. You're forgiven. You become born again. Folks, that is the message that will be shouted from the mountaintops in the last days. Jesus Christ came. He died. He rose again. He saves. Throughout the globe. Now, I got to tell you, as I studied for this Bible study with this verse, man, this verse fired me up. This is an exciting verse for two reasons. First of all, I just love the idea that everyone's going to hear the gospel. That's exciting. That fires me up. But you know what also fired me up about this? This sign of the last days is the sign that convinces me most that we're living in the last days. It is from this sign, from this prediction, that I have become convinced that we are living on the threshold of eternity. The rapture is soon. The rapture is near. The second coming of Jesus Christ is near. We're in the last days. You say, well, why does that convince you so much? Well, I want you to think for a moment about reaching the entire world with the gospel. That's a very tall order, isn't it? There's a lot of real estate to cover. The earth is a big place. There are billions of people on the planet. Thousands upon thousands of languages. Thousands of cultural barriers. How in the world do you reach the entire world with the gospel message? Now, I want you to think about it from the perspective of the early disciples and Christians in much of church history. Jesus said those early disciples, you're going to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He makes this prediction. The entire world is going to hear the gospel. And way back then, they're thinking, wow. How are we going to do that? We're going to need an army of people. We're going to need to really start exercising because we're going to have to do a whole lot of walking. And we know the disciples didn't even know how big this planet was. And you need to understand that for much of church history, in fact, for most of church history, the idea of reaching the entire world with the gospel message was something that seemed like an impossible task. So big. So many cultures. So many languages. How do we reach? But you know what, folks? Right now, in our day, we live with the capacity to reach the entire planet with the gospel. Right now, in our day, due to technological advancements, we have the ability to reach every corner of this world with the gospel message. And you know what? The church is actually doing a fantastic job. We're getting very, very close. And that's why this excites me so much. We are living in the days where this prediction is possible. I want to mention to you several technologies this morning. I'm an engineer by background, so I love tech stuff. And I want to mention a few that really we just certainly take for granted today. There are many things today that we do that we absolutely take for granted. And there are many technologies today that I want you to think about it are brand new when you compare it to all of church history. Incredible things have taken place. One of my favorite technical things is a microphone. I like this little microphone. Now, I fight with it every now and then. It bugs me sometimes. But I think it's really cool that I can just speak into this little thing and you can hear it. I can even whisper. Did you hear that? I don't have to yell. I don't have to scream. I don't have to raise my voice. The microphone can be used. Did you know that the microphone was invented in 1876 by Emil Berliner? That's only 135 years ago. And the first microphones were used as voice transmitters for telephones. Now, for most of church history before that, preachers preached without sound. No amplification, none of that. Now, we know that churches were built to employ natural acoustics. We know that there are natural amphitheaters. But for the most part, we know that most preachers, when they preached before the microphone, they yelled. They projected. It was harder for a whole lot of people to hear. John Wesley, who's one of my heroes in church history, literally preached thousands of sermons in his lifetime. He lived before the microphone. He, on certain Sundays, would preach five or six times. And according to his diaries, he would go home and sometimes cough up blood. And he struggled with laryngitis just because of the wear on the voice. Now, look what we get today. And I want you to think about how many of you have been to a really big event in a stadium, like a crusade or a concert. And you look down, maybe you get the nosebleed section. And you look down and there's that little dot on the stage, that little guy, the little man. And he's got a little thing on his ears and he's speaking. And at that moment, well over 100,000 people are hearing the gospel. And not just inside the stadium, but outside the stadium. Folks, people's voices today in our country are being amplified. The gospel is going out. There are crusades all around the world. Many, many televangelists, many, many just plain old evangelists out there speaking the gospel in stadiums. I hear of crusades that happen in India where they fill soccer stadiums. Well over 150,000 people, and people gathered outside the stadium listening to a guy speak. The gospel message can be spoken to more people at one time than at any other time in history. And it wasn't so for most of church history. How about the radio? The radio, the first claimed audio transmission that could be termed a broadcast, occurred on Christmas Eve in 1906. It was made by a guy by the name of Reginald Fessenden. Radio, as we think of it today, was first introduced basically in the 1930s. Folks, that's 80 years ago. In 1931, 2 out of 5 homes had a radio. In 1938, 4 out of 5 homes had a radio. And today, radio is being used in a mighty way. Now, I want you to think of that. Here you have a person in a studio speaking into a microphone, which that gets amplified and reaches mega cities. Huge populations. We have satellite radio. People around the world are hearing radio. And you know what? The church has been very, very good at using radio. I'm excited. There are many, many churches and many, many missions that use and take advantage of that technology. Many churches have radio programs. Man, we've got a radio program at our church. It runs on KELP every Monday through Friday, 5:30 to 6. If everyone in El Paso were tuning in to that radio program, we would have over 700,000 listeners. If you include Juarez, Alamogordo, Las Cruces, well over 2.2 million people. We have our radio program airing in Belize, Central America. How cool is that? That it can go out to so many people living in that part of the world. By the way, I just got an email from Clive Welsh, who's the station manager of Lighthouse Christian Radio, where it airs in Belize. And he just wanted me to thank you for allowing us to put that program up in Belize. They're getting a lot of good feedback from it. There's a ministry called Trans World Radio. Its vision is to reach the world for Christ by mass media so that lasting fruit is produced. Listen to this. Speaking fluently in more than 200 languages and dialects, TWR, Trans World Radio, exists to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Our global media outreach engages millions in 160 countries with biblical truth. Since 1952, God has enabled TWR to help lead people from doubt to decision to discipleship. One of my dear friends who's been in this pulpit before, his name is Paul Cox. He's an engineer and he's a pastor. And he works for Trans World Radio. He's put up a radio transmission station in Benin, West Africa. TWR reaches over 40 countries in Africa, well over 60 languages. And here's what's really neat. You know what they'll do? Many of the Trans World Radio missionaries will find the most remote villages, go in there and bring a radio and a whole lot of batteries. Teach them how to tune in. And you know what? People listening to the gospel in their own heart language. All over the world. Radios being beamed into Africa, to China, to Pakistan, to Afghanistan, to Iran. It's reaching the world, man. How about that thing called a TV set? Anybody have a TV set? We all have probably like 1, 2, 3 TV sets. The first regularly scheduled television service in the United States began on July 2nd, 1928. In 1947, there were 40 million radios in the United States. There were only about 44,000 television sets. 30,000 of them in New York. NBC began its broadcasting in 1947. CBS and ABC in 1948. There are people, many people alive today who remember life without TV. There was no TV set. And yet, look, that has become the prime media outreach. Everyone has TVs. Cable TV, satellite TV. And now, check this out. Now you got one person speaking into a microphone and looking into a camera with the potential of reaching millions. Worldwide, live. Do you know what the most popular TV show in all of history was? Captured most ratings ever in all of history. It happened this year in February, the Super Bowl. 100.9 million viewers around the world. Now, we take that for granted. But that's only been possible within the last 60 years of human history. Over 100 million people watching together live an event. And you know what? The church has been using TV in awesome ways. The gospel is going out. There are many channels that are totally dedicated to the Christian faith. A lot of the channels that you see on TV. Now, I will admit, I don't like a lot of them. I'm not endorsing everything that I see on a Christian TV channel. But I'll tell you what, the gospel's going out, and I'm glad they're there. In the mid-1970s, my dad got saved by watching a televangelist. He was sitting on a recliner. It was the days before remote controls. This televangelist came on, and he was too lazy to turn it off, and my dad came to know Jesus Christ through the gospel being preached through the TV. And the stories like that go on and on and on and on. Folks, what the church is doing with TV, man, those big crusades, they can be beamed live, can't they? Worldwide. Billy Graham, in 1991 in Los Angeles, during the four nights of rallies, the Southern Baptist preacher drew crowds averaging 62,000 a night. In addition, the crusade was aired simultaneously to 20 countries across 6 time zones by satellite hookup, drawing more than 5 million people to 850 locations. Now we have a guy on that little stage with speaking into a little deal, into a camera, to 62,000 people a night and to people across the world via satellite TV. Folks, it's exciting. Jesus said that in the last days, his gospel would be preached to the ends of the world. We're seeing it happen in our day. We have a dear brother here at the church that we've just gotten to know over the last year and a half. He and his wife are now here, Joseph Jafari and Amanda. And you may have heard his testimony a while back. He's the one that was born in Tehran, Iran, came to the States, got saved, and now he's radically following Jesus Christ. And he shares with me about his involvement in the Persian or Farsi-speaking church in California and the things that they're doing. And he told me that there's a mission in Dallas, Texas, whose full-time ministry is to beam the gospel via satellite TV in the Farsi language right into Iran. And they do it 24/7. Kalissa TV, dedicated to the house churches in Iran. Najat TV, dedicated to reach out to Farsi-speaking people of Iran, Afghanistan, and Turkmenistan. All of that's being beamed. Now, could you produce programming like that in Iran? It'd be illegal, right? But we can produce it here and beam it in. Because what Joseph tells me is that everyone in Iran has a satellite receiver. They might live in huts, but they're not going to miss out on their TV. Isn't that interesting? Have you seen that in certain poor communities around the world? You'll see shacks. And at the top of the shack is a satellite dish. The video, the gospel, is being beamed into Iran and Pakistan and China. It's incredible what's going on. In the same area of this TV, I would mention movies. Any of you ever heard of the Jesus film? I mean, they take this Jesus film, they go into villages, you know, they get it going with a generator. They show the Jesus film in, again, the heart language of the people's, you know, experience. And they see so many people, called by some one of the best kept secrets in Christian missions. A number of mission experts have acclaimed the film as one of the greatest evangelistic tools of all time. Since 1979, more than 200 million men, women, and children worldwide have indicated decisions to follow Jesus after viewing the film. In addition, through hundreds of partners, an estimated 10-plus million decisions have been made as the Jesus film is used extensively by the body of Christ. You know what? I'm excited about what God is doing through His church. You know, a lot of times we hear bad news and things about, but you know what? The gospel is going global. How about that thing called the internet and the computer? Folks, 25 years ago, we didn't have computers in our homes. Just 25, 30 years ago, there was no internet, and now there's the internet, and look what that has done. Look at YouTube. We talk about things going viral on YouTube. The gospel is going to go viral on YouTube. Videos out there, video streaming, audio streaming. People being able to access the gospel from anywhere, just having an internet hookup. At our church, we have close to 1,100 Bible studies offered online. We have podcasting. And virtually every church that I know of is doing the same thing. Do you know how much stuff is out there and available? By the way, I think that after the church is raptured, that's how most people are going to get saved, through all the stuff that's left behind. Internet, computers, all of that going on. Print media. Does anybody print anything anymore? Yeah, we do in mass, don't we? You know, the printing press was only invented in 1440. A little over, close to 600 years. So I want you to... For 2,000 years, most of church history was done without the ability to mass produce. But now we're able to. And now we're able to do in wonderful ways. We have so much power at our desktops. Anybody even seen a typewriter lately? Some of them. But think of what we do. We put documents together, pictures, graphics, brochures, newsletters, all of these things. And we do it right there. We print it. We can put it anywhere. Banners, posters, flyers, any language. The church is making use of that in radical ways. Many tracts are going worldwide. There's ministries like the Gideons that are absolutely dedicated to getting the Bible in the hands of every man, woman, and child on this planet. They're doing a great job. The Wycliffe ministry that has been around, dedicated their whole life. They have an army of people translating the Bible into the original language of people and taking it to them. And it's and you know what? There's billions and billions of people on this planet. And the stat from them is that there are still 340 million people who do not have any scripture in their language. Now that sounds like a lot, 340 million people, but there's billions. We're close. And they're working hard. And here's the deal. When you find cultures that don't have copies of the scripture in their original language, or in the language that they can understand, that's where things like radio is coming in to fill the gap. All of the technologies, the MP3 players. I know of ministries that are putting 4 years worth of Bible study curriculum on one device. Taking that to the village. Teaching them how to use an MP3 player. Lots more batteries. It's incredible what God is doing. You know, I don't think technology is bad. There are a lot of Christians, I think, that, you know, when things change, oh, technology, and they kind of see it even like music. Oh, music, it's, you know what? Things like music and technology are neutral. They can be used for great harm, can't they? But they can also be used for great power and much good. Think of the days in which we live. How about communication? Did you know that we've really only had the phone for a little over 100 years? Think about that. And now we have our little phones right here. Wherever we go. It's like Star Trek. You know, Kirk here, Spock. Think of the way we communicate. The video conferencing. That's a trip. That's spooky. That was sci-fi 40 years ago. So check this out. If there's anyone on the face of the planet that you would like to tell about Jesus Christ, you pick up a device, you dial their number, you get them anywhere, and you share with them about Jesus Christ. It's incredible. Only been available in the last 100 years. Transportation. Cars, like we know them, only been around for 100 years. Planes, less than that. I checked it out. You can get anywhere on the face of the planet in less than a day. You can leave here in America, you can get on a plane, and in about 14 hours, you'll be in China or Moscow. Think of that. Again, we take it for granted. If there's anybody on the face of the planet that you would like to preach the gospel to face, you can go see them and get there within a day. Anywhere. There's a very interesting prophecy that Daniel has in his book of prophecy, looking to the future. God is saying to Daniel, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. And then he describes the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. According to Daniel, the last days will be marked by many going to and fro, and knowledge increasing. And because of what Jesus has said here, and because of the things that we're seeing, I believe we are living on the threshold of eternity. And you know what? I want to fire you up.
The gospel is going global, and let's accelerate it. Let's go for it. Let's get it out there. We can get it out there in ways like we've never been able to do it. You know, the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son. That has been the duty of the Christian church since day one of the Christian church, whether or not you have all this technology. Get out and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's been our duty. But now, think of what we could do. Let's go. Can you imagine a guy like the Apostle Paul with a cell phone? Can you imagine a guy like the Apostle Paul with a laptop? How many frequent flyer miles would he store up? Can you imagine Paul the Apostle's blog, Facebook account? Oh, what he would do. A radio program for Paul? Oh. TV for Paul? Oh, my Lance. The truth is that we have the potential for there to be many Apostle Pauls with laptops, TVs, and we need to go out and we need to do it. You might say, well, how do I get involved? How do we get a part of that? Let me tell you, if you're a born-again Christian here this morning, the very first thing you need to do to get involved with the Great Commission is to get actively involved in a local church. To become a member of a local church and be active in it, not just a spectator. Come along. See, this is your home base. If this is your local church, then make this your home base, where you get to know the people here. And you serve the Lord here, and we support the work of the Lord here. Then the next thing we need to do is we've got to support missions. I've mentioned several ministries today that I think are absolutely key. Trans World Radio, the Gideons, Wycliffe, things like these are things that we can get behind. These are things that need to be funded. You can get involved technically. I mean, you're a Christian. You got a Facebook account. Quit telling everybody about what you're going to eat for dinner. Tell them how to get to heaven. Amen? Get out there. But here's something I want to really make sure everybody understands. We've talked about all this technology and all of this stuff that we can do, but I want you to understand this morning, my brother and sister in Christ, there is nothing, nothing more effective in evangelism than personal one-on-one evangelism. You need to understand that. The Bible teaches that the Christian church is going to grow by multiplication. Be a part of God changing the world. You know what? Live for Christ in your office. Live for Christ in your place of business. Reach out. Befriend people. Show people the love of Christ. Tell them Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose, Jesus lives, Jesus saves. Let that ring from you in that sphere of influence that God has given you. You know, join the movement. God's changing the world. The gospel is going forth. Let's be a part of it. There's one more thing that I see in verse 14, and I want you to point this, I want to point this out to you. I want you to see this. I see the grace of God in verse 14. I see the grace and mercy of God. Look how Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Check that out. God says, the end will not come until everyone has heard. until everyone has had an opportunity. Until the gospel has been preached to every corner of the world. I love that. God isn't just going to slam the door shut on people. I believe God gives every single person an opportunity to hear. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's heart. He's not willing that any should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. He's wishing that all would be saved. He gave his son so that people could be saved. Look what God has done. And God will make sure that everyone gets an opportunity. And we get to be a part of making sure that everyone gets an opportunity. I want to ask a question as we close. We've talked a lot about the gospel going global. Has it gone local yet? And by that, I mean really, really local to your heart. Have you received Christ? Have you asked him to be your Savior? Has he come into your heart and changed you? You know, God is doing everything he can to give everybody a chance. And the way I see it, according to the Bible, God won't send anybody to hell. People will choose to go by choosing to reject what God has provided in Christ Jesus. And you know, one of the tragic things, again, as we look through the last days and we look through the book of Revelation, with all of these things happening, and despite the gospel going out, there'll be many on the planet that will keep that fist up at God, blaspheming God. There will be many that will receive him. What do you choose? What will you choose? Very strong exhortation from us this morning to do what we can to be a part of that evangelism of the world. But maybe you're here this morning and you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will save you. I know there's a lot of stress right now in our society. There's a lot of people hurting. There's a lot of people going through very tough things in life. And a lot of people are looking for answers. You find answers in Jesus Christ. Not only will he forgive you of all your sins and secure you as a member of his family for all of eternity, but he'll save your life here. He'll give you a life worth living. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Father, we're so excited about the days in which we get to live. I thank you, Lord, for the things that you are doing worldwide. Through your people, I pray, Lord, as your people here, we would come along and support. I pray that every one of us would be a part of getting your word out. Lord, if you've convicted any one of us in any way, then let us be faithful. Let us choose to do what you have called us to do right now. And then, Lord, if there would be anyone here this morning who's never opened their heart to receive you, I want you to have an opportunity to do that right now. Remember, the gospel teaches that you must have a personal encounter with Jesus. You must ask Him to be your Savior. And you do that through a prayer. So if that's you, I would like to lead you in a prayer right now. In the quietness of your heart, simply say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. Become right now my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Wash my sins away. Make me your child. And help me now to follow you in this great plan of reaching the world with your love. It's very important if you just said that prayer, that after the service, you would come forward and you would share that. We will have leaders up here in the front. We have some aids that we want to give you to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. So don't leave this morning. Your friends and family will wait, but you come forward and you get that information. And if you'd like any prayer for any other reason, you can come forward. Let's stand together as the body of Christ.